cocktail your liver doesn't like, and aware that even without taking a single medication in your life, you can end up with them in your system. When people who are on medications eliminate them, those pharmaceuticals end up in the water supply. Once you've started to care for your liver, these can start coming out of the liver immediately. The total amount of time it takes depends on the pharmaceutical and how much you consumed over the years. It can take up to 2 years for the majority, provided you're not still using them. Although if you are actively taking a medication, I respect that. It doesn't mean you can't work on healing your liver. There's so much poison that the liver has to work on ridding from so many sources. Working on that, as well as working on feeding your liver, so it can do what it needs to do, will help your liver be able to handle the pharmaceuticals you have to take. Antibiotics. Among other applications, prescribed regularly for cold and flu, childhood ear infections, sore throats, coughs, UTIs, acne, and also for sufferers of chronic illnesses such as Lyme disease. You could have been on antibiotics so early in life that you don't even remember. These troublemakers, which contain petroleum, tend to go to the liver's subsurface level and deep inner core. Antidepressants. If you've been on one or more of these, you know it. They settle in the subsurface level and deep inner core of the liver. Anti-inflammatories. Commonly taken by sufferers of injuries and chronic pain, they spread out among all three of the liver's levels. Sleeping pills. Medications for insomnia settle in the subsurface level of the liver. Biologics. These immune system suppressors, commonly prescribed to sufferers of chronic illnesses such as MS and intestinal disorders such as Crohn's and colitis, go to all three levels of the liver. Regular immunosuppressants. Often given to MS and other chronic illness patients, they go to all three levels of the liver. Prescription amphetamines. Prescribed for conditions such as ADHD and other focus and concentration issues, as well as low energy, they settle in all three of the liver's levels. Opioids. Given to chronic pain sufferers, these drugs dive down to the liver's deep inner core. Statins. Commonly taken for high cholesterol. When the irony is that cholesterol problems derive from the liver and statins worsen the liver's condition, elevating cholesterol even more, although the medication hides this, statins easily hit the liver's deep inner core and are highly toxic to the area. Blood pressure medications. You know if you've been on these. They stay in the subsurface level of the liver. Hormone medications. These include both conventional and bioidentical hormone therapy, human growth hormones, and human chorionic gonadotropin, HCG, diets. They go to the surface and subsurface levels of the liver. Thyroid medications. You'll know if you've been on these medications, though you may not know that they are not actually targeted to heal the thyroid or address the underlying thyroid condition, and are instead another form of hormone medication. More in thyroid healing. Some of the top prescribed medications out there, these also go to the surface and subsurface levels of the liver. Steroids. Often prescribed for mystery symptoms and illnesses, as well as following surgery and dental work, they go to all three levels of the liver. The pill. Causing liver problems more often in young women at younger and younger ages, This one lands them very early perimenopause or other hormonal diagnoses because it makes the liver so toxic so soon. One way it causes trouble is by restricting and atrophying blood vessels in the liver. This goes to the deep inner core. Alcohol. This doesn't just apply to the alcohol in a bottle for recreational drinking. Alcohol is in virtually all toiletries, including hair care and skin care products and cosmetics. It's also manipulated in the pharmaceutical world and added to many over-the-counter and prescription medications, and not just the liquids. In dry medicines, it's often there in altered, dehydrated form. Alcohol is extremely hard on the liver, causing it to become sluggish and stagnant and injuring liver cells. It slows down the liver's ability to run its over 2,000 chemical functions for the body and makes liver lobule elves drunk so that Santa's helpers can't make toys. Don't let this stop you from using hand sanitizer with alcohol in it. Killing off the flu virus or strep from a public bathroom or other germy spot outweighs what your liver's going to receive from that sanitizing wipe. Alcohol saturates all three levels of the liver. Within 90 days of looking after your liver, you can get out all the alcohol residue. Recreational drug abuse. One of the few differences between recreational drugs and hardcore, more aggressive pharmaceuticals is that with these drugs, there are no prescribed dosages. You won't hear a dealer say, "Only do half a gram every other day for a week." While you would think that quality control is far superior with pharmaceuticals synthesized in labs, and that the dangerous, harmful chemicals from homemade street drugs make them a completely different beast, it's not that simple. No one knows how many mistakes are made in medication production. The reason drugs' impact on the liver is so much more severe goes back to dosages. There are no standards or regulations to keep them under control. Drugs go to the subsurface and deep inner core of the liver. Toxic heavy metals group. Like the chemical neuroantagonists group, toxic heavy metals spread out among all three levels of the liver and are also commonly passed down through the bloodline from generation to generation. In addition to the ones from yesteryear that we're born with, which, as you heard about in Chapter 28, is how babies' livers can already be burdened, we get exposed to toxic heavy metals throughout life. Here's just a small sampling of sources, some of them liver troublemakers in their own right. Pharmaceuticals, city water, jet fuel falling from the sky, water pipes, restaurant food prepared with heavy scraping of metal pots, pans and tools, nanosprays applied to manufactured items, and pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. When it comes to avoiding toxic heavy metals, question everything that's offered to you, including medical treatments. These troublemakers can start to leave your liver in your first week of caring for it. If you regularly apply the medical medium heavy metal detox described at the end of Chapter 38, you can get deeper layers of toxic heavy metals out of the liver within a year or two. This detox method is devised to kick metal out of the liver, among other spots in the body, in a way that your system can handle, so that they get eliminated, not recirculated. The Liver Rescue 369 also gets heavy metals out of the liver, so they can't get reabsorbed. Plus, it makes getting heavy metals out afterward much easier. These are responsible methods for getting heavy metals out of the body so a sensitive person does not react. Unlike with other so-called heavy metal supplements, cleanses and techniques out there. Mercury. Among other sources, we can get exposed when handling batteries in devices, getting metal amalgam dental fillings or getting them removed, encountering pesticides, herbicides and fungicides, eating fish, taking fish oil supplements, even the high-quality ones that claim to be mercury-free, and when spending time in lakes and other water sources. It's also the toxic heavy metal that's most easily passed down through generations. So the mercury in your liver could be truly ancient. Lead. Handling lead pencils as a child, getting exposed to lead paint, whether currently when trying to remove it, or in the past when it was fresh, using water that's flowed through lead pipes in old buildings, or in newer homes, pipes with lead sealers, and encountering pesticides, herbicides and fungicides are a few of the ways you can end up with lead in your system. Also, beware of growing a vegetable garden close to a house where lead paint was used on the exterior. The surrounding soil could now be saturated and you could end up with lead-marinated vegetables. Aluminium. We come into contact with this one all the time, from cans to foil to takeout containers to kitchen tools to makeup to tap water to sunblock to pesticides, herbicides and fungicides. Copper. The liver is really highly sensitive to copper. Since this metal is commonly used for pipes, copper particles can end up in our drinking and bathing water, plus it's frequently in pesticides, herbicides and fungicides. There's a new trend of copper everything in the kitchen. Try to be cautious about pots and pans and go with ceramic whenever you can. Your liver will thank you. Cadmium. This one is in the air, falling from the sky, so it gets into our systems when we inhale it. It's in pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides too. Barium. Another troublemaker we inhale when it falls from the sky. It also lands on our skin, plus it's in the water supply, so we ingest it. Often used in medical imaging treatments. Nickel. An ingredient in pesticides, herbicides and fungicides. Arsenic. Another component of pesticides, herbicides and fungicides. Radiation. Your liver sponges up radiation you're exposed to from plane flights, X-rays, MRIs, CT scans, cell phones, food and water, and the continual atmospheric fallout from past nuclear disasters. Even if you haven't gotten an X-ray in your entire life, it doesn't mean your mum or dad didn't get one before you were conceived. That radiation is inherited and doesn't go away unless you work on getting rid of it mindfully. You can also absorb radiation from being near someone who just got an X-ray. It goes to all three levels of the liver. Within the first 3 to 4 weeks of looking after your liver, radiation particles can start to release. For the more penetrating radiation, it requires the right supplements and seaweeds, as well as the heavy metal smoothie from Thyroid Healing, which is also a radiation yanker. It takes some time to get radiation cleaned up, usually about 1 to 3 years altogether. It could take longer, depending on your exposure. Excess adrenaline. Prolonged overabundance of adrenal stress. Oversaturation with adrenal hormones can overload the liver's ability to perform its everyday responsibilities. It also provides extra fuel for viruses such as EBV as well as bacteria. When the liver is able to neutralize adrenaline, it stores it in its subsurface level. When the liver is forced to store caustic adrenaline because it's too overburdened for neutralization, it stores it in all three levels and usually takes 1 to 3 weeks to cleanse when you're working on it. Adrenaline-based activities. bungee jumping, roller coasters, sex, skydiving, surfing in large waves, snowboarding, BMX riding, car racing and cliff climbing are a few examples of adrenaline rush activities. They're better than being on drugs. Adrenaline sports are big achievements. If you're engaging in them, you also want to make sure you're taking care of your liver. Just like you make sure your bungee cord is maintained and your parachute packed just right. Instead, someone usually celebrates a successful jump from a plane or a win at the track with a good ale, giving the liver even more to do. Not much of the corrosive adrenaline from one of these high-intensity activities can get neutralized, because it comes at the liver in such a rush. It usually saturates all three levels of the liver, the same way a sponge gets soaked when you sop up a spill, and takes 1 to 3 weeks to leave again when you're caring for your liver. Rainfall exposure. Rain is not clean like it once was. Rainfall is filled with toxins from the sky and air, from radioactive particles to barium to jet fuel to dust particles blowing off agricultural land, both domestically and from other countries that contain residue of pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. It's also filled with a tremendous amount of vaporized material that spews from chemical factories globally. These chemicals are not documented by any agency. They're rogue byproducts that fill the atmosphere by the hundreds of thousands. All of these toxins come down in the rain, and if it gets on us, our skin instantly absorbs it, and the chemicals find their way to our livers, settling in the subsurface level. This is where we should herald our livers as practically God for what they see and catalogue and understand about these thousands of different vaporized chemical agents in their most homeopathic, minute form. What the liver witnesses is beyond all of research and science's grasp and imagination. I'm not talking about acid rain here. That term doesn't even scratch the surface as far as what's actually in rain. There isn't a lab on the planet that can catalogue the contaminants in a raindrop. People who are sensitive, whether with neurological symptoms such as fatigue and joint pain, or with chronic issues such as sinus problems, will tend to worsen for a couple of days after being soaked in rain. I'm not trying to scare you here. Luckily, our livers are masters at cleaning up rain toxicity. The liver should get the Nobel Peace Prize for identifying and handling it. Enjoy your walks in the rain and take care of your liver so that you can enjoy them. Past rainfall chemical exposure can leave the liver 100% within 2 weeks if you're taking all the right measures. Then the next time you get hit with rain, any toxicity from it can leave your liver within 3 days. This is partly because rainfall is active, living water with healing properties within it, which the liver can extract and use immediately. That living water codes and diffuses any chemicals it contains to make them easier for the liver to work with. Chapter 37. Powerful foods, herbs, and supplements for your liver. We've come a long way in how we think about our food. Today, we're even more mindful than ever of junk food and additives and agricultural practices. We want to feed our families the best, so some parents who love animal products won't feed their children anything less than grass-fed or pasture-raised or free-range, and some parents who are plant-based won't feed their children anything less than organic produce. Now it's time to start thinking of our livers as part of the family. They need to eat too, and they deserve the best liver fuel there is. Our livers have the potential to come back from sluggishness and illness with tremendous power. When we see them for what they are, living, working organs, we get insight into how feeding them, and feeding them right, is the key to making the healing happen. How does the liver eat? It has a lot to do with those little elves, the liver lobules. Like us, they need fuel to do their jobs. If you'll recall from part one, your liver's true calling, the liver is one of the busiest organs in the human body because it has a highway of blood running through it. Blood brings with it vitamins, minerals, other nutrients, and building blocks of our food, hormones, oxygen, and troublemakers, such as prescription and recreational drugs, pesticides, herbicides and fungicides, aluminum, lead, copper, mercury, and other toxic heavy metals, and disease-causing pathogens such as viruses and bacteria. The liver must be masterful at sorting the bad from the good, the poisons from the nutrients. The elves in the toy workshop, the liver lobules are what do it. Because the highway of blood moves to the heart next, their task of deciphering what's useful, non-useful, or even detrimental is particularly vital, so they can make sure to send only gifts and no lumps of coal to the precious heart. There's also the liver's storage of helpful and harmful materials. As the helpful materials, such as nutrients, hormones, biochemical agents, and chemical compounds are called for, the liver's intelligent system brilliantly dilutes, measures, balances, and releases just the right amounts of these items into the bloodstream. Then there are the harmful materials, the makeshift storage of which we addressed in Chapter 5, Your Protective Liver, and in the previous chapter. To protect you, your liver tries to bury the most worrisome items in deeper pockets. All of this work makes the liver hungry. In order to guard the doorways of the liver, blood vessels in and out, sort everything, strategically store the good and drive the bad deep, the liver's cells, including the lobule elves, need to be fed. They need a breakfast time, a lunch time, a dinner time, and breaks with snacks, like a chance to eat a coffee and a donut. Only the elves aren't asking for coffee and donuts. As I mentioned in Chapter 3, Your Life-Giving Liver, your liver's most important requirements are oxygen, then water, then sugar, then mineral salts. Glucose, sugar, is the liver's fuel, along with the precious vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and other nutrients that are delivered to the liver with the sugars from fruits and vegetables. The liver will only use nutrients that are surrounded by natural glucose and fructose. If someone's on a diet with no sugar, no carbohydrates, no sweet potato, no squash, no fruit whatsoever, the liver will slowly starve and the person will age rapidly. That's because the liver requires sugar to identify and hold on to the nutrients it needs to restore itself. It won't take them if they're not attached to food. Sugar, for the elves. If the liver sees a nutrient come in that's not bonded to sugar, it won't draw in the nutrient. It will just let it roll on by in the bloodstream until it exits the organ. Natural sugar also keeps the liver's engine cool, which is vital, since it's the organ that runs hottest. With the high-fat trend, people think that your liver needs fat to help break down fat. This is a massive blunder, taking the truth that your liver is responsible for breaking down fat and twisting that into the thought that your liver loves fat. It's almost like the trend makers of today are experiencing depersonalization to what's happening in the body. Or it's like knowing someone you've worked with for years, hearing stories about their situation in life and passions and dreams, and never really listening to them or knowing who they are. If you did listen, you'd realize that asking them for a particular favour touched on one of their greatest injuries from over the years. Instead, you were just hearing the sounds of their words while thinking your own thoughts, and that's what's happening with the diets of today and how they treat the liver. You live with your body, pretend to understand, think you understand, assume you understand, and you're never actually taught how to listen or take the time to figure out what it needs. If the liver breaks down fats, let's give it all the fat we can, the reasoning goes. The truth is that the liver's not hungry for fat calories. It's hungry for the right kind of sugar calories. It uses sugar to fuel itself, to be able to produce bile to break down fat. It takes the right balance in someone's blood to keep the liver fed properly so it can perform its adaptogenic bile functions and sorting and filtering process, as well as fulfill every other function, including storage and neutralization. Too much fat in the bloodstream is one element that can throw off the balance. It can create insulin resistance, which prevents cells' proper absorption of glucose, lower oxygen levels in the blood, and dehydrate the blood, which collectively deprives the liver of three of its critical requirements: glucose, oxygen, and water. I don't mean to scare you away from fats entirely. Some fats are healthy and great for you. As we've covered in this book, though, most people are unknowingly eating fats in excess. Simply try knocking back your fat intake by 25%. If you're eating 2 avocados a day, get rid of one and bring in more spinach, tomatoes, oranges, mangoes, or potatoes in its place. If you're eating 2 servings of chicken a day, cut out one and replace it with roasted sweet potato. If you're eating 2 servings of olive oil or coconut oil daily, try cutting that in half and using lemon juice in place of 1 oil serving. If you're making a dressing with a 1/2 cup of cashews, try cutting it back to 1/4 cup and blending in 1/4 cup of celery to make up for it. Or if you like to eat nuts out of hand, try replacing half with winter squash. Whatever the radical fat, whether plant-based or animal protein, such as meat, try to replace some of it with the healing foods in this chapter. By making these sorts of adjustments throughout the day, you can cut down your total radical fats by roughly 1/4. It doesn't have to be perfect. Another option is, if you want to have a day where you indulge in the quantities of fats that your heart desires, you can do some fat-free days to make up for it. The Liver Rescue 369 and the Recipes chapter will give you meal and snack ideas for getting through a day without radical fats. Either of these options, curbing a day's fat intake by 25% or giving your liver some fat-free days, will get you moving forward. Alcohol is another imbalancer. Long before you feel its effects, it starts to get the liver lobules tipsy as it enters through the portal vein, and drunk elves can't do their jobs right. When someone drinks, it hinders the liver's ability to acknowledge, decipher, extract, and retain the vitamins, minerals, and other helpful materials that are also coming in through the blood. They end up bypassing the areas where they're needed. It also slows down the liver's ability to manage its over 2,000 chemical functions. It's like the power going out on a plane. What can help a lot with balance is grazing. While your liver can store glucose and, in addition to feeding other organs with it, feed itself when needed, it requires as much glucose support as it can get, especially when you're still building your liver back up. It's not going to be in top shape to hop in with sugar supplies every time your blood sugar drops. Instead, your adrenals are going to step in to fill the gap. Since you want to save your adrenals from burning out and save the rest of your body from excess adrenaline, Eating something every hour and a half to 2 hours is a really useful way to support both your liver and your adrenal glands. If you like your normal 3 meals a day, that's fine. Just supplement with snacks in between. And what about the best foods, herbs and supplements to bring balance to your bloodstream and healing to your liver? Well, that is what the rest of this chapter is all about. Variously, the items you'll hear about now help cleanse and oxygenate the blood, hydrate the blood with living water to expel, dissolve and disperse fats and toxins from inside the liver, deliver critical natural sugars like glucose and fructose to the liver, and provide the blood with the highest quality mineral salts around. And they do more. They're brimming with antioxidants to help restore liver cells, vitamins to feed your liver's immune system so it can kill off viruses and bacteria, minerals for the liver's critical chemical functions, and undiscovered phytochemical compounds that transfer information to your liver so it can strengthen and rise above the polluted environment in which we keep it. They're the most powerful way to feed your liver and bring it to a level of health you didn't know was possible. Healing foods. Apples provide living water to support the liver's hydration capabilities so it can store the water and then release it back into the bloodstream when dehydration or dirty blood syndrome occurs. The fruit acids in apples help cleanse the liver by dispersing toxic films that build up inside its storage banks. Apples starve out bacteria, yeast, mold, other funguses and viruses from the intestinal tract and liver. Great for dissolving gallstones. Apricots offer easily assimilable vitamin A that does not overload the liver and instead protects it from cell damage. Also offer beneficial copper that can help bond to toxic coppers inside the liver and carry them out, a like versus like capability in your favour. Rich in antioxidants, many of them still undiscovered, apricots are medicine to your liver cells. Help prevent ageing. Artichokes contain phytochemical compounds that stop the growth of tumours and cysts inside the liver. The liver relies on other chemical compounds found in artichokes for many of its own chemical functions. They work hand in hand to keep the liver's neutralization, screening and filtering abilities strong. Arugula causes a gentle purging effect inside the liver with undiscovered phytochemical compounds that allow the liver to decide the severity of the cleanse and what toxins it safely wants to release, versus a purge that would harm the liver. Asparagus provide a wealth of flavonoids, many of them undiscovered or unstudied, that are highly anti-inflammatory. They act as natural aspirin and soothe a hot, overburdened, struggling liver. The liver's ability to cleanse increases greatly from this calming effect. Asparagus brings order to a chaotic, sick liver. The liver's immune system strengthens instantly from asparagus. It increases bile production, yet doesn't allow the liver to overwork itself in producing bile. Helps dislodge fat cells, expelling them from the liver. Helps rejuvenate the liver's deep inner core. Asparagus is one of the most important liver healing foods. Consider putting it on the menu at least a few times a week. Atlantic sea vegetables, especially dulse and kelp, contain mineral salts that are pleasing to the liver and on which the liver depends. A very important one is iodine, a natural antiseptic to the liver that inhibits unproductive bacteria, viruses and other unwanted microorganisms that can find their way to the liver and cause cell damage. Iodine at the proper level inside the liver can help prevent cancer and all manners of disease that occur within the liver and body. Atlantic sea vegetables strengthen bile salts as well, so that the liver's bile production is more potent, versus a large production of bile that may not be too potent. Bananas. The fructose in banana is the liver's favourite source of food. It provides quick fuel to the liver and wakes up sleepy cells, increasing their ingenuity and work output, soothes the linings of the intestinal tract, and also soothes the nerves attached to the intestinal tract. Contrary to popular belief, bananas are one of the most antibacterial, anti-yeast, antifungal foods. A great food to combine with other nutrient-rich foods or to take with supplements, because they improve the liver's ability to absorb nutrients. Berries. A medicine chest for the liver. Loaded with antioxidants to keep a variety of liver cells, including hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, as well as liver lobules and capillaries, from becoming infected and affected by toxins and pathogens. Berries protect the liver from troublemakers causing damage. The many undiscovered antioxidants they contain help shield liver cells from harm. All berries, including raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries, stop the liver from oxidizing too easily when saturated with toxic heavy metals and poisons. Broccoli. The trunks of broccoli are rich in sulfur compounds, which are not researched to the extent needed. They're more important than we realize. These phytochemical sulfur compounds act as harmful gas to unfriendly bacteria and other microorganisms inside the intestinal tract, and also travel straight to the liver, where they saturate liver tissue, allowing the liver's immune system to have a fighting chance at controlling pathogens. Brussels sprouts. An ultimate liver-cleansing food, providing a vast array of chemical compounds and phytonutrients. The sulfur compounds found specifically in Brussels sprouts are different from those in any other food in the cruciferous, that is, brassica family, as they're derived from the large mother stalk upon which the little baby Brussels sprouts grow. This is some of the most powerful, beneficial sulfur for the liver. It has the ability to loosen hardened prison cells of poisons and inherited troublemaker toxins, because it has a greater reach for toxins that have been in your family line for generations, if not centuries. Once it loosens up the cell prisons, old poisons come out, though they don't go rogue. Brussels sprouts sulfur has an ability, unlike any other, to cling to each poison and safely escort it out of the liver, whether through the kidneys, bile duct, or intestinal tract, staying bonded all the way until the troublemaker leaves the body. It's a food rarity. Carrots. A quick liver refueling source of glucose that's attached to minerals and vitamins. When carrots are eaten raw, they're higher in antiseptic phytochemical compounds that inhibit the growth of unfriendly microorganisms. Celery. It's undiscovered subgroups of sodium that I call cluster salts protect the liver's cell membranes and inhibit the growth of viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Celery restores the liver's bile production capability, as well as the potency and complicated structure of the bile, which in most people is completely imbalanced. Its cluster salts bind onto free-floating poisons and toxins inside the liver and flush them into the bloodstream, remaining bonded so that the troublemakers leave the kidneys or intestinal tract safely. Celery purges the liver while bringing down liver heat to a safe level. It's the ultimate gallbladder rehabilitator helping to dissolve gallstones over time, making them small enough either not to cause harm or to be able to pass through the bile duct. Celery's sodium also expands the bile duct, so it's not restricted in case a large stone does breach. Removes mucus out of the intestinal tract and liver and increases production of the undiscovered 7-acid blend of hydrochloric acid in the stomach. Disperses fat cells inside the liver. Without realizing it, we get celery from different regions and different farms, even when we buy it from the same store. This is beneficial because different earth affects the mineral salt composition of celery grown in it. So we end up getting a variety of sodium compositions that help our immune systems. Not that you should worry if you've eaten celery from the same farm your entire life. The soil has still changed over time, giving you variety over time. Celery is a powerful herb we should never forget. Cherries. High in anthocyanins that bond to specific troublemakers from the petrochemical group that store deep inside our livers. Cherries' red colour pigment acts as a degreaser, dispersing these sticky, gluey toxins and allowing them to gravitate out of the liver and into the gallbladder. The anthocyanins prevent the toxins from being reabsorbed back into the liver, and the rich fibre from the cherry fruit helps rush the poisons out of the small intestine and colon. Cilantro. Not only does this herb bind onto toxic heavy metals, its undiscovered phytochemical compounds also cling to other troublemakers, such as neurotoxins and dermatoxins that commonly end up inside our livers, and then expel them safely from our bodies. Cilantro is both a great liver-cleansing and liver-building herb. It helps regenerate nerve tissue in and around the liver, precious nerve tissue that sends messages from our brains to communicate with our livers. Coconut. Very helpful in lowering viral and bacterial loads inside your liver and lymphatic system, though only when it's used in small amounts. Too much coconut, including coconut oil, can slow down the liver, delaying its responses and rendering it incapable of performing its duties. That's true of any plant fats. While they have benefits, overdoing them takes away from what they have to offer. Cranberries. The anthocyanin in cranberries is multifaceted, as it does more than one job for your liver. Not only does it prevent oxidation in cells, it helps prevent cells from dying in general of toxic overload. It also removes and breaks free a variety of troublemakers, including those inherited from long past in the family line. The harsh fruit acid in cranberries that causes the mouth to pucker strips the cell membranes off pathogens, most especially bacteria. The vitamin C in cranberries holds similarities to the rare vitamin C in tomatoes, in that it increases the liver's immune system strength. Cruciferous vegetables. These members of the brassica family are always great for your liver. They provide an abundance of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants and rich phytochemical sulfur compounds that help the liver restore its nutrient storage banks. Cruciferous vegetables also help the liver convert nutrients, making them more bioavailable as they're released into the bloodstream to be delivered to other organs in your body. Some of the best crucifers to bring into your life are kale, radishes, arugula, Brussels sprouts, red cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, watercress, kohlrabi, collard greens, broccoli rabe, and mustard greens. You can hear more about the first six throughout this chapter. Cucumbers. Allies to the liver due to their ability to hydrate it. Your liver's always in need of living water that's filled with minerals and other nutrients, because your liver keeps your blood hydrated. It relies on sources such as cucumber for that living water. This minimizes dirty blood syndrome by helping reduce fats and toxins inside of dirty blood. Phytochemical compounds in cucumbers act as anti-inflammatories to the small intestines and colon. Cucumbers have a gentle blood-thinning ability too, allowing for detox to occur naturally without obstruction. Dandelion greens. The liver is practically a sponge, and if the right phytochemical compound approaches it, such as the bitter compounds of dandelion greens and stems, a purging effect occurs where the liver squeezes in reaction and loosens up prison cells filled with toxic debris. That bitterness also activates healthy histamines that encapsulate the freed poisons and pull them out of your body so you can detox. This can end up reducing liver spasms and increasing both bile production and potency. Never underestimate dandelion as one of the most beneficial liver cleansing foods. Dates. The intestinal tract builds up mucus due to low hydrochloric acid and bile production, and that can slow down absorption of nutrients into the bloodstream. Dates expel and eliminate mucus, especially that produced by pathogens, such as bacteria and fungus, from the colon. The sugars in dates feed the liver. They're a great source of glucose for recovery and restoration that allows the liver to maximize its over 2,000 chemical functions. Eggplant. Often shunned due to confused belief systems about nightshades, eggplant is more worthy than we are led to believe. It can help us more than anyone knows. The only reason it's avoided is because we don't understand it. In truth, eggplant has small quantities of an undiscovered astringent phytochemical that improves blood flow to the liver, allows oxygen to be maximized inside the liver, and helps prevent all manner of disease. Eggplant also has phytochemical compounds that bind onto vitamin C, making it more bioavailable to the liver and the liver's personalized immune system. Eggplant thins out dirty blood filled with fats and poisons, which can help stop blood clots from occurring inside our veins, and eases the heart too, allowing it not to overwork as it pumps. Figs. All around, friends and allies to the liver. Figs don't require a lot of hydrochloric acid or bile fluid to digest, so they give the liver a break. At the same time, figs bind onto and expel almost every variety of pathogen and toxin in their way in the intestinal tract, which means less poison heading up to the liver through the hepatic portal system. Figs are a win-win for your liver. Garlic. Since the liver deals with an onslaught of pathogens, it needs herbs and foods that help it fight its cause. Garlic is one such herbal food. The medicinal, pungent, astringent quality of garlic is a pathogen's worst nightmare. Phytochemical compounds from garlic seep through the walls of the intestinal tract into blood vessels that lead up through the hepatic portal vein into the liver. The liver's immune system welcomes these compounds because it knows they're like a relief army coming in so the immune system can find reprieve and retreat to build up its forces. These phytochemical compounds are like throwing sand in someone's eyes. They literally hit a variety of pathogens inside the liver, forcing them to back down and even killing off some of them. If you're sensitive to garlic, try onions. They have similar qualities. If you're not sensitive to garlic, don't be afraid to bring it in when you feel like it. Grapes. While grapes are shunned for their high sugar content, we ought to think twice. That very sugar content in grapes helps revitalize the liver. They're truly a longevity food, increasing the liver's performance in every one of its over 2,000 chemical functions. The fruit acid unique to grapes is a great dissolver of gallstones. Think about that the next time you eat some, rather than worrying if there's too much sugar or if they'll make you gain weight. Weight gain is the last thing grapes create. Hot peppers, such as cayenne, super chili, habanero, bird's eye, jalapeno, and poblano. Hot peppers contain dozens of phytochemical compounds that are helpful for the liver. One such compound is capsaicin, which gives the liver license to heat itself without negative ramifications. The liver welcomes this food-initiated heat because it's a reset factor. Blood rushes oxygen through all the capillaries throughout the liver, and the heat caused by the capsaicin instantly draws fresh, clean blood into the liver through all avenues. It's like opening a window in your house to let out stale air and let in fresh air. This reset is beneficial for the liver's reaction to inflammation that's caused by pathogens and toxins. Try not to eat your peppers green. Always eat them red and ripe. We have an obsession with eating green peppers, and certain people's reactions to these and other unripe nightshades are part of what unfairly gives all nightshades a bad name. Look to ripe, hot peppers for a liver reset. Jerusalem artichokes, also called sunchokes, hold phytochemical compounds that have the ability to halt quick-to-spread diseases. Some viruses, other pathogens, and cell-damaging troublemakers are more aggressive than others, and a phytochemical compound in Jerusalem artichokes can halt them. The same compound is involved in the growth process of the artichokes in the ground. These roots spread far, wide, and quickly in their growing season, and the compound responsible for that is the same that ends up protecting the liver from fast-spreading illnesses. Kale. A beneficial food for the entire intestinal tract because it starves unfriendly bacteria and microorganisms while feeding beneficial bacteria and microorganisms. Very helpful for improving the ileum environment, which in turn improves vitamin B12 production so the liver can receive this vital nutrient through the hepatic portal vein. Kiwis. Kiwi's fruit acid has a dissolving effect on gallstones unlike any other. It creates divots and pits inside the stones, weakening them so they can break apart. Kiwis also provide various nutrients upon which the liver relies. Leafy greens, especially lettuces and their stems. An extremely cleansing tool for your liver that you can apply on a daily basis. The leafy outer greens of lettuce provide dozens of micronutrients for the liver to stay healthy and balanced, while the core of the lettuce, down closer to the root, provides milky chemical compounds that act as a purging mechanism for it. When leafy greens are eaten with fruit, their medicinal qualities increase twofold. Lemons and limes improve hydrochloric acid production as well as bile production and potency. Contain micro-mineral salts that break down pathogens, such as unproductive bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, to help protect your liver's immune system. The rich calcium levels in lemons and limes binds to the vitamin C within them, and both of these enter into the liver, where they waken a stagnant, sluggish, fatty liver, helping loosen and disperse fat cells. Lemons and limes clean up dirty blood syndrome, improve glucose absorption, and even protect the pancreas. Mangoes cool a toxic, overheated liver, soothing and calming it to prevent the organ from going into spasm. The yellow to orange pigment in mangoes feeds liver lobules and strengthens hepatocytes and Kupffer cells, allowing them to do the jobs they need to do. Mangoes also have a unique phytochemical compound that helps the liver's immune system destroy the pockets of bacteria that create liver abscesses. Help prevent your liver from aging and cells from dying while improving bile production. Maple syrup. The combination of sugars and high mineral content quickly travels to the liver and becomes instant fuel of phytonutrient composition. It's like an IV for the liver, containing the best of both worlds. A vast array of vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients, many of them still undiscovered, coupled with a high-quality sugar on which the liver thrives. Melons. A powerful liver-cleansing food because of melon's ability to hydrate blood all on its own and help alleviate your liver's overburdened state. The combination of melon's unique living water content with its nutrient content allows the heart to work less. Melons thin out dirty, toxic, fat-filled blood, allowing the heart to not overwork itself in pumping blood. This reduces some of the liver's responsibility to protect the heart, which frees up the liver to focus on other important chemical functions that are needed in the moment. Melons also provide the liver with hydration to hold onto for when you're in a drought, living a lifestyle of chronic dehydration. They flush toxins out of the intestinal tract with ease and rebuild hydrochloric acid reserves in the stomach. And because bile is not needed to break down and digest melon, the liver can work on restoring its bile tank. Mushrooms contain hundreds of undiscovered phytochemical compounds, many of which are detoxifying for the liver without hurting it. Mushrooms are medicine for the liver. Many people fear mushrooms because they believe that their status as a type of fungus means they feed fungus within the body. It's just the opposite. A mushroom is a fungus that destroys fungus, and the liver accepts mushrooms as allies. If the liver is dealing with unwanted microorganisms, such as fungus, mushrooms are very helpful in pushing them out of the liver. Mushrooms also reduce fungus, bacteria, and viruses in the intestinal tract, allowing for cleaner nutrients and cleaner blood to arrive in the liver. Onions and scallions. Very similar to garlic, onions have antimicrobial sulfur compounds that expel unfriendly pathogens from the liver. Onions have a disinfecting quality for the liver, keeping it from becoming inflamed. They also improve the temperature control or thermostat of the liver, so it can heat and cool itself properly. Oranges and tangerines provide a combination of calcium and vitamin C when both are combined from the same food source. The liver can use both better than it could from separate sources. Another great fruit that allows for easy absorption and conversion of nutrients for your liver. While oranges and tangerines have a mild gallstone dissolving capability, they have more of an ability to uproot and disperse sludge and sediment that can settle in the gallbladder after passing through the hepatic ducts from the liver. Papayas. When someone's intestinal tract is nervy from inflamed nerves caused by troublemakers all along the gut lining, papaya soothes these nerves, allowing inflammation to reduce. This improves the absorption of nutrients into the bloodstream to head up to the liver. The red pigment phytochemicals in papayas allow liver cells to become more agile and versatile, so the liver can function at its optimum. Parsley. Its phytochemicals have anti-troublemaker effects that dislodge poisons and catapult them out of your liver. The intense green pigment in parsley contains an alkaloid specifically for liver rejuvenation. Tissue in the liver improves when exposed to these alkaloid compounds. Parsley has a purging effect on gallbladder sludge, though not on gallstones. Its phytochemical compounds settle at the bottom of the gallbladder, where the sludge lies, to do their good. Peaches and nectarines. The skin of peaches and nectarines has a quality that's sticky to toxins and poisons inside the intestinal tract. These skins cling to deep-seated pockets of debris, old putrefied food, and mucus inside the small intestine and colon, driving them out to make room for friendly bacteria and microorganisms and allow for better nutrient absorption. The juicy nature of a peach or nectarine is unique in the sense that it's a combination of fruit acid along with mineral salts and sugars, with an astringent phytochemical compound close to the pit that allows for rejuvenation close to the liver's inner core. Pears. A calming, soothing, gently cleansing fruit that's incredible for agitated, inflamed, stagnant, sluggish, overburdened, or fatty livers. Pears also have a sedation effect upon busy parts of the liver that need to take breaks and cool down. They take the liver off autopilot when it's in constant crisis, allowing the organ to heal and rejuvenate. Pineapple dissolves gallstones. Its highly acidic fruit acid and chemical compounds also enter into your liver easily, acting as brushing mechanisms and dispersing degreasing agents to clean up and drive out sticky, mucousy debris, gunk, and byproduct that can build up inside the liver from a multitude of troublemakers. Pineapple can be astringent, so I prefer the bottom two-thirds for the sweetest, most balanced part of the fruit. Even if you ripen it on its side, it's the bottom that's best. If the astringency doesn't bother you, you can eat the whole thing. Pitaya, also called dragon fruit. The red pigment in the red-fleshed variety of pitaya is a rejuvenator for your liver, bringing cells back to life. It helps your liver produce cells faster, so regeneration of the liver can occur. It's a fountain of youth fruit for the liver that slows down and stops liver aging by caring for its deep inner core, which in most cases succumbs to disease if left neglected for too long. Look for packs of frozen red pitaya in the frozen section of the grocery store or online, or you may find it fresh in your area. If neither is available where you live, seek out pure pitaya powder. Pomegranates contain anthocyanins to help rejuvenate liver cells at the same time that its astringent fruit acid helps dissolve gallstones. Excellent for cleaning the passageways of blood vessels and promoting better flow through the veins of the liver. Potatoes. Abundant in amino acids that specifically inhibit viral growth. Potatoes are high in glucose that provides substance to the liver, as it's precisely what the liver relies on to keep strong. It also helps build up glycogen storage, the very resource that protects us against blood sugar problems, weight gain, fatty liver, and dirty blood syndrome. Potatoes keep the liver grounded and stable, giving us a good constitution. They're also shunned for being a nightshade, when in truth they have the ability to reverse many varieties of chronic illness. Radishes. A strong medicine for our livers. The pungent, biting nature of radishes comes from a compilation of chemical compounds, many of them undiscovered, that act as disinfectants to the liver, stopping pathogen infection and boosting the liver's personalized immune system by increasing its white blood cells' ability to fight and destroy invaders. Raw honey contains a combination of sugar that the liver needs desperately and vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients, hundreds of which are not on the record with medical research and science. Honey is antimicrobial, antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal, all packaged into one. When it heads to the liver, in its broken-down assimilated state, it packs a punch, giving the liver everything it needs at once. The liver's immune system strengthens instantly. The liver lobules and cells get the fuel they need instantly, and hundreds of phytochemicals from the flowers that bees once harvested for pollen intoxicate the liver in a euphoric, healthy way, giving the liver the reprieve it needs to fight for us another day. Red cabbage helps your liver in more ways than one. Its greatest role is involved with the intestinal tract, where it minimizes pathogens, expels ammonia gas from the body, knocks down fungus and bacteria, and sweeps out old debris and putrefied food, making a better environment for the ileum so B12 can be produced. Red cabbage is the liver's secret weapon, as all these benefits to the intestinal tract benefit the liver too. Just when you think red cabbage's duties are done, its sulfur compounds, combined with its deep purple-red pigment, head up to the liver, where they revitalize and regenerate injured tissue, including tissue in the liver's deep inner core, making red cabbage an effective tool for liver recovery. Spinach. The mineral salts in a spinach leaf, and especially its stem, helps the liver with its over 2,000 chemical functions. Not only is spinach filled with lots of vitamins and other nutrients, they're nutrients that the liver can easily absorb. Spinach leaves release nutrients quickly into the intestinal tract, even when someone is experiencing weak hydrochloric acid or bile production levels. It massages the ileum, allowing for better B12 production, and helps the liver convert nutrients so the rest of the body can receive them once the liver releases them. Sprouts and microgreens. The liver appreciates sprouts and microgreens greatly, the way it appreciates any living fruit, vegetable, or leafy green from the farmer's market or your own garden, or grown on your kitchen counter, because these foods harbor elevated biotics not found anywhere else. You can't buy elevated biotics packaged up in bottles at the store, and you can't even find them in fermented foods. They don't exist in any area of industry. They exist on a fresh sprout or microgreen